the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Nate Franzine, a lender from South Dakota at the recent ABA Ag Bankers Conference, that in a moment. Shane Haynes, also at that conference, president, CEO of Heartland Tri-State Bank, Elkhart, Kansas.
Oh, it's a great opportunity. It's a great organization. KBA represents almost every Kansas bank. We have a great group of bankers, still have 200 banks in Kansas, which makes our local banking strong in Kansas, but also makes our association strong, because we have large banks, small banks, community banks, regional banks. We have a little bit of everything. Our KBA is able to get involved with so many different areas and support bankers as bankers support their customers or community. So we are very proud to be chairman of KBA. It's a great opportunity to meet bankers and travel the state. And I've enjoyed this opportunity, this challenge.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Welcome to Omaha. It's the ABA Ag Bankers Conference, the 70th Ag Bankers Conference. Ran into Nate Franzine, who's with First Dakota National Bank in Yankton, South Dakota. Did I get all that right?
You did.
Nate, so good to see you. And again, ABA Ag Bankers Conference. You enjoy coming to this?
Oh, I do. I've been coming for over 25 years and former chairman of the Ag Committee and for the ABA. So it's an annual event I really look forward to and put on the calendar.
Opportunity to see and visit with a lot of different lenders from across the country. Maybe sometimes we tend to just look at what's happening in our own backyard. How important is it to have the opportunity to visit with others?
I can't say how important it is enough. I mean, I look at my career and any successes I've had, it's been because of mentors and networking with colleagues across the country. And this event is one of the biggest of those. You know, it's one of the reasons I cherish coming to it every year is there's great friends in this industry that I've met over the years. And this is the one time of year we can all get face to face and really compare notes and talk about what's happening in our industry.
Tell us more about the bank, and then we're going to segue into what you're seeing as far as conditions around the area.
You bet. So we're a family-owned community regional bank headquartered in Yankton, South Dakota, 17 locations. We've got loan production offices in Nebraska as well. Our core footprint is eastern and central South Dakota. We're about $2.6 billion in assets. We have over $1.2 billion in loans out to farmers and ranchers. A couple other quick things I would mention. We have a young and beginning farmer program that we put a lot of energy into to help grow the next generation of farms and ranches. And we also have a consulting department that helps farms and ranches with estate planning and succession planning and those kind of things, in addition to our traditional banking services and lending activities.
You mentioned succession planning. That's a touchy subject, but such a vital topic, especially today, right?
It really is, and it always has been. But I think, you know, as capital needs have grown in farming, as operations have gotten a little larger and more complex, the importance of planning is more important than ever. So estate planning, succession planning, and the difference between the two, estate planning is planning for the transition of assets from one generation to the next. Succession planning is planning for the transition of management and decision-making and expertise. So two different things are kind of interconnected, and we really work hard to help our clients with that so that we know that next generation has the best chance for success.
When you look across the entire region, you really have multiple issues at this point. You've got areas that have received moisture, but probably some areas still dealing with drought.
You're right. The drought map would show parts of our territory are right in the heart of some of the worst drought areas. Matter of fact, where we're headquartered in Yankton was one of those areas, really in the darkest color on the drought map, which is not where you want to be. Thank goodness for crop insurance. With higher commodity prices, the crop insurance guarantees were at good levels this year, and that's going to be a savior in those areas where we got hit the hardest. We'll be able to kind of hold things together and move to the next year. Obviously, you'd much rather grow a crop and get your revenue from the market. But no doubt we'll have a little of both. Some of our areas had very, very good yields, average to better, and then certainly we had segments in our territory that had well below average yields, and that's where the crop insurance is going to be so vital.
For those who did grow a crop facing some historic input costs, how have you been able to manage that?
Yeah, that's the challenge as we look forward, really. Fortunately, if you look back in farm and ranch performance, and we track this really closely with our client base, but certainly at the conference here today, we talked with FinBin and FinPAC, the people from the Center for Farm Financial Management in Minnesota. Their data aligns with ours quite well. The last 2 years have been good years for agriculture, strong profitability, which has improved working capital and liquidity, improved equity, and so good news is farmers are positioned quite strongly right now, and that's a good way to be going into inflation and higher input cost environments. The projections we look at as we look to the next year or two, no doubt costs are going to continue to go up. Hopefully these commodity markets stay strong, but there's no guarantees there, and so I would expect margins will tighten a little bit here as we look to the next couple of years. For all the reasons we talked about, input costs rising, interest rates rising, which will increase the cost of borrowing, and then you throw in the risk of a recession out there, and there's some potential bumps in the next couple of years ahead.
Have your producers had any challenges as far as the crop they're producing getting it to the end buyer? Have we experienced some of those issues back home?
Yeah, I think in general we've been doing okay there, although there is concerns as we look forward, right? There's some barge shipping concerns on the Mississippi with lower water levels because of some of the drought that's been hitting parts of the country. And, of course, we've got this rail strike out there looming that, would be a significant setback to shipping our products. So far, so good, though. I think our folks have been able to get their crops marketed that they needed to get marketed and are finding a home for it and a buyer and good prices.
We talk about ag in your region. We're also talking about really the economic engine for many communities. And maybe we can use this as a segue to possibly an opportunity when we talk about crush.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most exciting things as I look at the ag industry in general in the next few years. No secret to most of your listeners probably, there's a lot of crush plants on the drawing board, and what's really driving that is rapidly growing demand for renewable fuel, right? Renewable diesel. And there's a crush plant just on the drawing board just north of Mitchell, South Dakota, right in the middle of our footprint. But there's several others on the drawing board around the Midwest and around the country. The demand that will have for soybeans is going to be a game changer in the market. It'll be a disruptor to the markets, much like ethanol was during the last super cycle, as we often refer to it as, really pushing demand for corn much higher as the ethanol industry grew and blossomed. It appears this could be what we're heading into on the oils. So it would be soybeans for sure, sunflowers, canola oil. All of those crops will be players in this rapidly growing demand for renewable fuels.
At the end of the day, you've got to manage those margins. And we've seen some opportunities for revenue coming into the farm that really you have a hard time putting on the drawing board when you're penciling things in to start the season. I'm talking about government payments right now. Is there some concern as we move into 23?
Yeah, but it'll be interesting. Government payments was a huge part of profitability back in 2020, coming out of the pandemic, whether it was CFAP or PPP. There was a significant amount of the net profit in farms and ranches was coming from Uncle Sam. That dropped off significantly in 2021, rightly so, right? We were coming out of the pandemic. This year, it'll be a reasonable number in the way of crop insurance. But again, that's insurance, and farmers pay premiums for that. So that's not just a direct check from the federal government. So, that'll be interesting. We're about to go into writing a new farm bill. It expires in a year or so. And so, yeah, that'll be things to keep our eye on. It's an interesting dynamic to write a farm bill. On one hand, we have higher commodity prices, which generally tends to work against us in the farm bill process because people think we don't need support. We've got high prices, we're in good shape, but all we got to do is look to this inflation environment and rapidly rising input costs, and it'll be important we get the safety net, safeguards, and the support in place that we've needed in the past. There'll be budgetary challenges too from the federal government side, so there'll be pressure to trim, I'm sure, in certain areas. So that'll be an interesting process for the ag industry to stay engaged in as we go through the next year or two.
I'm also wondering, kind of the last question here for you. You're talking to producers now, and maybe they're your customers, but maybe producers from across the country.
Yeah.
What words would you offer to them as far as dealing with the lenders and making sure everybody's on the same page? What would you offer to them as we go into 23?
Yeah, it's probably the same fundamental advice I would always say. Communication, communication, communication. It's really key. The ag industry is a relationship business. Certainly, it is about price and competitiveness, but it's also about that relationship and the commitment your bank, your lender has to your industry for the long term. We're coming out of good times, and so it seems easy in some regards, but we know input costs are rising rapidly, margins are getting compressed, so having a good partner is going to be really vital. And one of the things that we continue to talk to about with our customers is be conservative in these good times. Most people are positioned pretty well financially, but we see some bumps coming. So don't grow too fast. Don't be over anxious. Keep yourself positioned strong so that you can best weather any bumps that might be ahead. And I think that's the best advice we can give at the moment in time we're in.
Nate, if we want to learn more about the operation, the bank, are you online?
We are. FirstDakota.com. We have a tab on ag, so you can click on that and get real specific about our ag banking solutions and our ag banking team, which I'm extremely proud of. We've got a great team of professionals that take great care of our farmers and ranchers every day. So you bet you can get out there and learn all about First Dakota National Bank. I got to put in a plug. We're celebrating 150 years this year, so it's our sesquicentennial. We've been having a lot of fun with that, being the oldest bank in the Dakota Territory. So, proud of our bank.
So what do you give for the 150th anniversary? It's not diamonds. It's not gold. Is it soybeans?
There you go. Soybeans it is. So, yeah, we've been having a lot of fun in various ways with our clients and the communities we serve.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Nate Franzine with First Dakota National Bank from the 2022 ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. And special guest today, South Dakota lender, Nate Franzine.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Over 35 years ago, Heston introduced the first large square baler, and that baler has led the industry ever since. Now Heston leads the way again with their new 2200 series at Livingston Machinery. They took their best-in-class 2100 series and made it even better, delivering more capacity, more consistent bale shape, and more bale density in virtually any crop conditions. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Hear more from the ABA Ag Bankers Conference online at allagnews.com.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report, USDA's Brad Rippey.
Another crop that's really been hit hard by drought this year, sorghum. So we've got a rapid harvest pace for that crop too. 87% of the U.S. sorghum harvested by November 6th, well ahead of the five-year average of 79%, also ahead of last year's 85%. Harvest progress for sorghum ranges from 79% complete in Colorado to already finished in Texas.
And for sunflowers?
The Plains sunflower harvest is edging closer to completion. 81% is the harvest number on November 6th, significantly ahead of the five-year average of 61%, and even ahead of last year's drought-affected crop, which was 68% harvested on November 6th, 2021. Only one state, Colorado, reporting behind average harvest progress for sunflowers. The significant production areas in the Dakotas, more than 80% harvested.